All right, you're listening to Love in the 21st Century on FM 90, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I am joined today by Miss Wonderful Megha Moore. Thank you.
Hey.
So we're going to be chatting it up about a topic that's very alive in my life right now, which is commitment. I'm about to approach, or I am approaching, my 30th year, the beginning, and I've been thinking about it, ironically or not so ironically, for a few years now, and thinking about what that means in my life and that in this time in my life. And I feel like I have evidence to support it, that a lot of my friends, my peers, people around me are getting married, having kids. In some sense of the word, they're committing to things that are external to themselves. They are showing up for jobs and showing up for other people and showing up for friendships in a way that I don't know that we are encouraged here in our society to commit to ourselves. So right now, in lieu of my dear other hosts, my dear host Julian Ruck and Emily Rose, who are right now traveling the States to deliver the Guinness Book of World Records evidence to New York City, we're going to be talking about commitment. So we're talking about commitment in the self. How do we commit to ourselves? How do we show up for ourselves? How can we? As well as how we commit in relationships. And what does that mean to be in a committed relationship, or to commit to one's friendship or to one's family? And also how we commit to society, how we commit to show up in the world. So it's going to be a full and lively hour, you know, as usual. Give us a call, join the conversation. We love to hear from you. 895-1114. But before we get started, I want to get us into the hour with a lovely song suggested by Miss Amore. You mind intro in that song?
Sure. We're going to listen to Nako Bear and Medicine for the People playing a song called Seven Feathers. I don't know how else I want to intro it. It's so good.
It's so good. Listen up.
Listen up.
I know a carpenter, I know a laborer, he is my teacher, he is my brother, I have a neighbor, he is my savior, he doesn't waver, he's a strong believer. I know a businessman, he scrapped his business plan while screaming, fuck the man. He gave into the land. They are all archetypes, people that I might like to be just like, in a completely different way. And we all we're coming out of our caves, coming out of our caves. Yes, we all struggle, I know his hope, I know a futurist, he's an optimist, and he knows a young waitress, and he's trying to coax her out of her cave by smiling, by winking, by saying, you know, it's good for us to talk, you know, it's good to talk. I know a father, I loved his daughter, I told him never would I forsake her, but I got home too late from one of my escapades. No woman to face, just a note that said, baby, I've sailed away, right out of my cave. Caught a swell, caught her way to another inspiring place. We all, just accepts all that which I cannot accept. Such frustration that I wept for my friend the tax man.
He is my father and he tallies numbers all day. Yes, he knows his numbers, you could say. He taxes his income. I asked him how come. You know I work hard for every penny. Don't you think I deserve it all? Oh, the law, the law, the law. Son, there are flaws in the law, but in the end it does answer to God. Boy, I'm just doing my job. My friend the astronomer, she's a stargazer. I swear they talk to her. Boy, I wish I knew what they were saying while I was laying in her bed with her chest to my head. Well, our intentions misread, so I just said it. I said, baby, I'm a nobody. I ain't got no money, just this ambition to tell the people we are equal. So come on, baby, come out of your cave. Catch a swell, catch your way to another inspiring place. We all
love in the 21st century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the U.S. Bank, a proud supporter of community radio. U.S. Bank has branches throughout the KZFR listening area and is committed to the enhancement of the quality of life in the communities it serves. For more information about U.S. Bank and its services, visit usbank.com. Yes, our underwriters are committed to KZFR and committed to our community. How awesome. They are on topic with us tonight. And I'm so happy that you chose that song, Meg, because it really does speak to the commitment of coming out and being yourself in the community and being true. So it's really beautiful. And as I mentioned earlier before we got started, talking about self-commitment and what that looks like and why commit to yourself. Why is it important to take a time to look at that? And that's really where I'd like to kind of start. So anybody that's listening and you have something to share about a commitment that you've made in your life to yourself, an action, a pledge, and you want to share with us here on the air, give us a call, 895-1114. You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM. And yeah, self-commitment. How am I going to take this pledge for myself? You know, it's been a lot of time that I've been really investing mental energy into this idea. And I think that, you know, we're all kind of familiar with the idea of committing to oneself around New Year's. We think about like the New Year's resolution. What are we going to do for ourselves? And we all kind of know how that goes. Like there's some people that, you know, it's a lifestyle change after that decision. And it's kind of this, or it's the same commitment or the same resolution each year. And so I'm in that spot of thinking about, you know, what the next section of my life is going to look like. And for me, it's really about showing up authentically, even when it's difficult to do. And that is, for me, the reason the self-commitment is so important is because it's really easy for me as a community member to get committed to my community and get committed to relationship and get committed to my family. Like I was learned to be in service of others. And so reminding myself to commit to, you know, myself is something really important. And so this, I hope that this conversation is inspiring some people to start thinking about how they're showing up for themselves. And so Meg, I kind of want to hear from you and your kind of opinion about the self-commitment concept.
Yeah. Thank you, Tammy. I'm super glad to be here. And what a great topic, commitment. And for me, I just turned 30 this year as well. And for me, I made some big health changes, and I was looking at it in terms of committing to myself now, but committing to my future self. I mean, there's this Megan in the future who wants to be thriving and healthy and available for life. And so by making health choices now, I feel like I'm making a commitment to my future self, which is really, to me, really mind-blowing. Like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because right now I feel like oftentimes I can be just so in the moment of, I'll have this now, this feels good now, instant gratification, but you know, what are the future ramifications of that? And at the same time, how can we prep our lives and our bodies to be wonderful in the future, you know, to breathe good and to feel good and those things. So that's one of my main points that I wanted to bring in today, was that future self-commitment.
Right. And it's interesting because for me, reflecting on why, like, where this commitment comes from, it comes from a younger me. It comes from a me that wanted to be put first. a me that wanted to know that I had a safe environment and a safe community to grow in, and meaning like the community that we create for ourselves, as well as, you know, just the community we end up being in. And if we have time later, there's a part of a TED talk that I want to share that a woman is explaining that her own experience with that, where, you know, being a little girl and not having those things for certain, and, you know, everybody in your environment does the best they can to provide those things. But I think as you get older, for me, as I got older, I realized that it wasn't so easy to just have that, to just have those things provided for you, even if somebody was really trying to provide them for you. So the best way to do it is to put yourself first, because in reality, it's no one else's responsibility to do so. And so for me, it's a really good reminder of, like, when I'm feeling these emotional places that I go, that I have to take accountability for how I feel. It's really easy to go, oh, well, if so-and-so just made, you know, made a little bit more effort on their part, then my life would be better. but that's not the case. It's just not.
Yeah.
And did you have something?
Well, you were talking about, oh gosh, my train of thought just left me. Go for it.
It's all good. So there's this video here, what is commitment to you? And I just want to play a short part for everybody here, so that they have kind of a general idea of, like, my perspective on where commitment is, why we're having a bit of, like, I feel like there's kind of like an epidemic of commitment phobia in our world. And maybe it's because of
state
my
of being wishy-washy.
Yeah, wishy-washy, you know, like, we're so used to people being wishy-washy versus committing. And, you know, like, it's just, what are we talking about? I had a really beautiful conversation with one of my friends the other day about commitment and how commitment is really showing up in a relationship to decide to be present. It's not necessarily like, oh, like, something's going to come of this, or, you know, like, all your dreams are going to be fulfilled, whether that's in a partnership or a business arrangement or in community. But that, like, I will be here to do the dirty work. I will be here, like, when the joy is around, and I'll be here to be the person to just bounce ideas off of. And so I think it's a really beautiful concept to be talking about. So this is called What is Commitment to You? Okay, that's not that. That's Nako Bear. So give me a second.
Well, you know what I was going to mention? My train of thought came back to me. So
awesome.
As a hula hooper, one of my top commitments has to be to my body. So for me right now, some of you noticed that I have my shoulder taped up. I've separated my shoulder again for, like, I don't know how many at the time in the last couple years. But for me, I have to stay committed to my body first and foremost in order to do the things that I want to do. And that commitment looks like, for me, setting boundaries for different performances, setting boundaries for my own body to hula hoop, you know, only on one side or something like that. But, you know, Tammy said it earlier, but we have to be committed to ourselves in order to be able to be the good community members, or the whatever kind of community members that we're looking for. So, and that's something I talk to with my acupuncturists about regularly too, is how our own health is really important.
Absolutely. So here we go. What is commitment to you?
I really question and ask myself whether or not I too was committed. And that's what the topic today is about, is, are you committed? Are you committed to your job? Are you committed to your business? Are you committed to your family? Are you committed to your spouse? Are you committed to your children? And some people, and even myself, you know, when you're first asked that question, you know, you could say, well, yeah, absolutely. But then there are certain things that you will find that are fruit of truly not being committed. And it's something that I too have to confront. And it's important to check yourself, because commitment really is, in my opinion, very rare. It is. And very few people have that ability to be disciplined and committed, because committed means you can't back out. You know, you can't, it's either this way or it's this way. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you have to with the with if you're following a vision or if you're following a movement or if you're following, you know, a business or a job or whatever, a company, right? Even your spouse, you know, when things go wrong, are you still committed? When things don't go your way, are you still committed? When you're reaching that point where you're that there's division and there's butting of heads, are you still committed? And this is really difficult, you know, it's really difficult to face because it's so easy to bring up excuses here, you know, because when other people aren't committed, right, it therefore gives you now the reason to not be committed, right? And then when nobody's committed, what's the point, you know? So are you going to be that person, the very rare person that's going to commit themselves no matter what? That no matter what you're facing, no matter what challenges are in front of you, are you going to be committed? Because if someone has to constantly motivate you, if someone has to constantly inspire you, if someone has to, like, you know, one of the things that I think is interesting is I notice a lot of people, especially like in neighborhoods and stuff like that, some people care. They want to know everything about why that certain car is in your driveway or why, you know, do that job for a living. It's like they want to know why because they, and the reason why they want to know why is because they want to satisfy their own perception of you, right? I mean, we all have these perceptions of people and they have to, if they don't line up with how we think and feel and believe, then you're going to find fault. So therefore, if you were to, let's say, you know, join the PTA and that parent, okay, follow me here, that parent is a part of someone that you have found fault with. So therefore, you're not going to commit, even though you wanted to, for your children, for the school, you wanted to commit yourself, but you didn't because of a parent that you didn't like or whatever the case may be. I know it sounds crazy, wild, and wacky, and I went a little bit deep there, but it's the truth. We find more excuses to not commit ourselves, to constantly question. Oh, you know, you got to question everything, and you sabotage really good relationships that come into your life. You sabotage them because you would have to fully commit. You would have to fully commit. And I know that a lot of people struggle with fear of commitment. I too constantly check myself on commitment, you know, because there are things that I'm committed to. I'm committed to my family, and it's a decision that I've made. And not to say that I'm perfect.
So that was a video clip from What is Commitment to You? This woman's name's Katie Hunt, and you can find her on YouTube. And I feel like she speaks to a lot of people out there in the world that are, you know, in that epidemic of commitment phobia, of participating in things because of what might be asked of them and the possibility of in that commitment. It brings me back to the idea of the commitment to self, though, because a lot of what she is talking about is commitment to the external, the commitment to the co-community, co-realities that we're creating. And what's important to remember is that it may be difficult to commit in those places if you haven't committed to yourself first, because it's really important to state those boundaries for yourself, to know who you are before you show up to the party, because defining yourself at the party is going to be a little difficult. There's going to be a lot of misleading things. People are in need. The world is in need. So the best way to help is to help yourself first and to create those healthy boundaries for that commitment. Again, if you have something to join, add to the conversation, 895-1114. Miss Meg, how did you feel about that video?
Yeah, I took a couple notes, and I really love your response to it as far as, you know who you are before you show up to the party. Mm-hmm. That's so true, because, I mean, yeah, we all have a lot of ideas and things, but to know what we're coming from is really important. And yeah, I really like hearing this video from Katie Hunt, and it's the second time that I've gotten to listen to it today. And she says, when things go wrong, are you still committed? And that to me is, you know, such a incredible question. For me, my partner and I were just separated for the month of May, and we're back together now. And it, you know, in my mind, it does go through my head, like, you know, where was my commitment when things were getting rocky? Is that, you know, is that something that I need to evaluate again in myself? Is, can I be committed through the bad stuff as well as through the good stuff? Because that to me is, you know, when in the wedding vows, they say in sickness or in health,
right,
or in good or in bad or whatever they say. But it's so true. And my other friend has a saying that says, if you can't love me at my worst, then you don't deserve to love me at my best.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing to think about, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
and where we can really grow and flourish to when we are allowed to be really seen for who we are. When that commitment is held, that space is held, you know, that the possibilities are endless. So we do have a caller there on the phone. Can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Can you introduce yourself and let us know where you're calling from?
Yep, calling from Durham.
Awesome.
Matt,
thanks for calling. So what do you have to add for us on the topic?
Yeah, as far as commitment, I think that you need to be fully committed to yourself.
Nice.
Before any other commitments can be taken on, because then, at like Katie Holmes, the speaker, was talking, are you ready to show up for that?
Right, absolutely.
And if you're not at peace fully with yourself and committed to yourself and what you want and what you need, then you'll never find out or know truly if you're going to be able to show up for other commitments.
Absolutely. Have you had that? Is there something that has helped you to come to that awareness, or that has helped you to be true to yourself in those, in that commitment?
Right now, I'm just being true and fully committed to myself. And in as you were discussing earlier, in relationships, you don't. If you're not fully committed, it's just not going to work, because you got to be, you know, you're giving, like she said, you're giving up half of yourself.
Absolutely.
And then there's other things that come along, like kids, and then that's another
commitment. Just got serious.
Another quarter of your own commitment.
Absolutely.
So if until you're truly committed and fully know what your own commitment to yourself is, I don't think that any of us are ready for any more commitment.
Right, absolutely. And would you agree that through that commitment in your relationship, that it allows the person that you're with to be more vulnerable, to be more of who they are, because they know that if they, the more real they get with you, that you appreciate that a little more than the opposite of not committing and hiding who they are?
That's a great point.
You know, that could go. I guess it just depends on the other side of the commitment.
Absolutely, this is true. This is true. It depends on how committed they are, how committed
exactly,
the commitment
exactly.
is. Well, thank you so much, Matt, for giving us a call and adding your voice to the conversation.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Matt. Tammy, I love how you brought up vulnerability. That's
yeah.
That is so true. You know, in our separation, my partner and I had for a month, I became more aware that vulnerability is really valuable, and that I want to see the vulnerable side in my partner, and he wants to see the vulnerable side in me, and hiding that doesn't do any service, even though it seems safe. It's
yeah. It doesn't do any service. I mean, really, for our own personal growth, you know, it does service for protecting us. I mean, I think in a lot of the reason we don't commit either to ourselves or to anyone else is because it protects us from having to really hold ourselves responsible for something. It's almost like an expectation or a contract. I think, you know, like a commitment in business, it's like, it's almost easy because then you don't have to reference anything. You're kind of like, you can just go, and or you don't have anything that holds you to a code. And we're such like a, you know, free flowing, creating society, you know, our new age believing that we feel like that holds us from our freedom. But what I was reading earlier was so interesting, that we actually create more freedom to do other things, to commit ourselves to do and create and to love in a deeper way when we do create those, you know, those boundaries or the expectations or the commitment. And thinking about like my self-commitment and vulnerability, like, you know, this sort of, I feel like this like metamorphosis has been going on for the last 6 months, where I've been really even more intensely thinking about my self-commitment. And it's being allowing me to like really show up a bit more with people, show up and be like, you know, this isn't the best moment of my life at this moment. Like, but that's okay, because it's going to pass and I'm okay with that. But like, I think sometimes people are like, wow, that's not what I expected you to say. And it's and like
surprising.
Yeah, like maybe there's a little bit too much information. But you know, but coming from a space of being like, but that's, I want to be honest. I don't want to have to say a certain thing like, oh yeah, everything's fine. You know, and you can obviously tell that nothing's fine. Like, you know, I think that vulnerability has been able to become more accessible to me personally with myself, because I'm making a commitment to myself, because it's almost like the commitment's in the back of my mind. Like, are you going to be authentic now? Are you going to be authentic now? Like, when are you going to choose to be true? Like Matt was talking about on the phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good points. So we've been talking a lot about undercommitment.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to bring the conversation to overcommitment.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, as the overcommitter that I am, I mean, and in terms of like everyone wants a hoop show, yeah, sure. And then I look at my calendar, I'm like, okay, Meg, 3 in 1 day, that's overcommitting.
Yes.
So yeah, for me, I mean, this is in like the community aspects, because we're talking about like committing to ourselves and committing to our lover and then committing to our community. And for me, yes, I want to commit to the village. Absolutely. But at the same time, there's only so much of my energy that I can give out. And so for me, I have to I wrote it down in my journal, you know, evaluating my commitments, my work versus play versus relationships, and kind of prioritizing and clearing the plate a little bit. Because to me, my plate is always overflowing.
Agreed.
But my cup is never full, right?
Right.
That's what my chiropractor and I are talking about. He's like, Meg, your cup isn't full. How are you giving from a cup that's not full, you know?
Yeah.
So it's that, you know, needing to commit to myself a little bit more. And then also just taking a look at what is on my plate. And if it's, you know, if I need to back off my commitment on a few things.
Right.
And that to me can feel like a really hairy subject to mm-hmm. like jump ship on a commitment.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
And
to be, you know, truthful with yourself, you know, back to that self-commitment and to have to tell somebody else that like, I have to say no. And we were kind of briefly talking about that earlier about, you know, using our no's, like as much as, you know, we're like say yes to opportunity. Also knowing when to say no and knowing when you're overextending yourself. I've been in a position in the past where I've like literally worked myself into like ill health, like where I couldn't say no, like because I knew that I was, you know, I physically in my mind it could do all the things that I had scheduled myself to do, you know, multiple community events, multiple you know, meetings with people, to the point where it's like, you know, it's up until I go to sleep. It's almost like in relationship, it helps me to remember, oh yeah, it's not normal to work 18 hours a day.
Really?
Oh yeah. There's other things in the world to enjoy. So I really appreciate that analogy that you shared with about the plate, because in my mind's thinking about my plate and like how much of it is dedicated to just the self and taking care so that I can show up. And how easy that part gets forgotten in our society, because we're doers, we're achievers, we are makers and we're creators. And so we're always putting out this energy to do that. And how that is, you know, like, oh yeah, like, did you make your dinner or did you like just like rush through it? Like, you know, cut up a piece of squash really fast and eat it because you just needed to eat because you needed to get to the next place. It's like, how is that showing up for yourself? How is that committing to yourself? And how is that over committing, you know, to other things? And I think for me, it's thinking about how much needs to be done. I'm often like, oh, there's so much that needs to be done. So it's like, oh, so that justifies the overcommitment. But if we, you know, really rely on community, like we say we do, you know, like that we say we need to do, and we each do our part instead of one person doing multiple and inspiring others to, you know, to commit with the, you know, with the caveat that you can back out. Like, you don't, like, commitments are not made in stone anymore for a reason, you know? Like, there's nobody that's going to come seek you out if you don't make your commitment. But also, you know, with the intention of committing, like, actually doing it, you know, and really weighing what is going on in your life in order to be, in order to show up for whatever you're doing. But yeah, people need to be able to take care of themselves, and we need to balance those commitments.
Yeah, definitely. Being able to say no is so important, to be a yes person like I am, but to also know when I need to say no is so valuable. And like for me, I have it written down, yes, no, and wishy-washy. So, you know, being in that wishy-washy area, I feel like I know a lot of wishy-washy people. I love you for your wishy-washiness. Honestly, I'm going to love everyone where they're at. But for me, I'd really love a no. You know, give me a no. Tell me that you're not committed, because then I can move on to the next, you know, the next person that's going to help me in a project or something like that.
Right.
And to me, that's more of showing up for your community. If you say no, then I know that you're really not committed. And that's cool. You know, we all have our own projects. Like you were saying, we all have to be our specific piece of the puzzle to make the whole picture.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Showing up for yourself and knowing, honoring your own no's, and knowing that everybody, like, hopefully it's coming from a place of understanding that things, life happens. Like, we shouldn't have to make justifications or reasonings for why you can't really do something. I mean, if we're all authentically showing up to do the, you know, to be a part of something, then when you can't do it, like, somebody else is going to be able to step in and help out. I mean, like, we look at the Guinness Book of World Records attempt that Julian and Emily co-facilitated. I mean, that was an amazing stretch of the community.
It's a lot of commitment right there.
There was a lot of commitment in that event. So, I mean, it was 30 days, and they needed, like, a minimum of, like, I don't know, 10 to 20 people, like, volunteers, plus the musicians, plus the people in the audience. I mean, it was just, it's a crazy amount of people. Like, I've organized quite a few events in Chico, but to have 24 hours a day for 30 days, like, that is not an easy feat. So, yeah, but, you know, sometimes people had to take care of themselves. Emily actually ended up getting sick. So, you know, you gotta, she was able to step aside because other people were able to come in. But imagine if, you know, she felt like she had to have been there, like, it would have just not been good for the morale of the event and for her personally. So knowing when and trusting to in community is an important thing to do.
Yeah. You know, that brings up the thought in my mind is, you know, how is it that, or no, the word is what, you know, what, under what thing can we commit to? Like, under what will bring so much want to commit that, like, for Julian and Emily's Guinness Book of World Records thing.
Yeah.
They were able to bring so many people out to the community to commit to that. And so for me, my question is, well, what are the things that are so powerful that could bring more people to want to commit? You know, first thing I think about is our water.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm totally committed this season to showering less, doing dishes less often, not watering my lawn. You know, there's these commitments that I'm super, you know, passionate about. I'm also committed to, you know, other things. So I just want to invite that question to you all is, you know, what is so powerful in your life that is so important that you are wanting to commit 100%? And how does that look?
Absolutely. And I jokingly made a joke with one of my friends when we were walking the other day about being the water police. So if anybody feels committed to be the water police, not in a friendly and loving way,
how do we do that?
Let people know that are watering their lawns in the middle of the hot day that is not the best time to water. You could also point them to a website such as BEC, Butte Environmental Council, on how to, when the best time is to water, which is actually in the evening or early in the morning, so that there's not so much evaporation of the water that you are putting on your lawn, even though I think that it is now not legal
to water your lawn
during the day.
You know, I tried to be the water police to some guy the other day, and I was driving by and he was watering his sidewalk, you know, and I was like, we're in a drought. And he looked up at me and smiled and waved. I don't think he knew what I was talking about. So, you know, how is it that it can be an effective water police? Like,
right.
Do I need to dress in like a fake
yes.
water police outfit and go yes. around and take pictures and embarrass and be like, oh, you've been
bad. No, I think just an outfit and a citation pad would work.
Mm. Kind of like Burning Man.
Yeah. but in Chico, yeah, there you go. It would be official enough.
Okay.
And I think the humor in it would also be good, too, you know, because then it's like slightly silly, slightly serious, more serious than silly because it is happening. So
I'm going to write this idea down, yeah. Water police, yes. with a pad of paper.
With a pad of paper. So commitment, going back to, you know, the commitment, I found this website called qualitycoaching.com, and it's the top 10 truths about commitment.
Mm.
So the first part is commitment is connection. Commitment is a connection between our values, intentions, and our actions. Connection is the coming together of more than one element, while commitment is the giving of ourselves to it, the surrender. The connections we make generate our commitments, just as our commitments generate more profound connections. So, like, in the conversation that we're having, Meg, I'm really reminded about this in terms of community, because it's really our connection. It's where my... in permaculture, as they would say, my cord meets yours, where the ocean meets the sand. It's like, you know, where these two different worlds meet is where our commitment lies, and like where it's kind of like the gray area sometimes, because it's undiscovered. It's still being figured out. And so being able to really provide that opportunity for each other to be committed, to be in connection. And it's easier to, you know, be sometimes off in your own world, but how much more beauty comes out of sharing it with other people. The second is passion, the essence of commitment. Passion is what is that which deeply stirs us, the fire from within, and that which motivates us. When passion is missing, our actions lack meaning, and we don't get the results we want. Without passion, our actions are obligatory and lack velocity. Commitment emanates from passion. Passion is the seed from which commitment blossoms. And so I'm really inspired to think about this show. I mean, this show is about love in the 21st century. It's about loving ourselves, loving, you know, in our partnerships and our family and our friendships, and, you know, to eventually go out there and be loving the community. And this comes from a passion. This comes from a drive to share it. Like, I mean, from no other perspective could it be drawn, but that's where that commitment lies for me, and I know for Julian as well as for Emily, like, you know, and Meg and Sky and all the different folks that have shown up for this show on various occasions. It's like, this is something that we believe in, that we should be having these conversations, that we should be thinking about commitment, that we should be talking about love in a more real way, because we do it anyway. We yeah. do it anyway. It's, you know, sometimes the background conversation to every other conversation.
Totally. Are you going to say the rest of the 10?
I'm getting there. I wasn't sure.
No, it's good.
Okay.
I mean, I'm writing. I'm taking notes.
Awesome. Commitment and persistence. So commitment is persistence. This one makes sense. Number 3, if one is committed, one's support is uncompromising and unending. One is willing to do anything in support of the commitment. This applies to love as much as it applies to professional or global commitments. Commitment drives us and anchors us during the challenging times. Commitment helps us to maintain our integrity. We persist to that which we are committed. So yeah, persistence is power. You know, like, I've heard and received so many no's in my life, and I still go. I'm like, okay, so what you're kind of saying is not now. I learned that from my mom. Like, she would always say, I'd ask her to take me somewhere, and she'd say, someday, Tammy, someday. And I'd say, Sunday? Because my mother's Costa Rican, so anybody that I would play with her and joke about her accent and be like, I don't understand. Like, I mean, Sunday, right? Sunday. This Sunday we're going. And she then, you know, Sunday would come and she would be like, no, I did not say Sunday, Tammy. So persistence, you know, persistence is power. And sometimes, you know, you just have to have a good attitude about it, because you're going to get no's. And if you really believe in something, especially when you're committing to yourself, like I am, you have to kind of just keep going, because there's lots of people in the world. There's lots of situations, possibilities, and the only end is really in our mind. So persistence is power. Number 4, commitment is conscious. Commitment requires insight and self-awareness. One must know what one's values and ideals in order to commit to them. Do you know someone who's conscientious and productive worker, but who's not happy? Such a person frequently lacks insight and self-awareness. Commitment is difficult if you don't know what's the most important to you. Commitment requires an ability to observe self and make conscious decisions. So being aware of who you are. Yeah, that's what we talked about. You like knowing yourself before you get to the party, you know? Makes it a lot easier to make friends. Number five, commitment is purposeful. Commitment involves choice, saying yes to our values and to our passions. Commitment is never haphazard or random. While we may lose our perspective from time to time, commitment always involves choice and intent. Commitment enables us to be purposeful. And so I recently was having a conversation with one of my friends about that, and like, living with intention, like, you know, like it's not, it is about, you know, spontaneity and being in the moment, but it's also about like really putting our energy into what we want to intend. And it goes into power of thought, like, you know, are we thinking the best of the situation? Are we thinking the worst? And are we able to be present in our own minds when we're doing it? Because, you know, sometimes I'll catch myself in a conversation or after a conversation thinking about the conversation. And I'm like, oh, like I'm totally broadcasting the negative side here. It doesn't have to be the negative. It can totally be the positive. And so being purposeful, being intentional about what it is we are committing to. Six, commitment is self-expression. Self-expression is the culmination of who we are and how we're being. When there's perfect alignment and congruency between who we are and how we're being, we are authentic and fully self-expressed. This is wonderfully fulfilling. If commitment is the ultimate expression of our values and who we are, self-expression is a core ingredient of commitment. Seven, vision brings forth our commitment. Having a vision, does commitment generate the envisioning process, or does vision generate commitment? Either way, commitment and vision are inexplicably tied together. Expand your vision while you deepen your commitment in order to produce powerful results. I can say for me that my vision has definitely been a huge part of commitment. It's definitely been required me to show up a bit more for myself. Like, if you're going to get serious about this, then you got to get serious about some other things. Has that been your experience, Meg?
Well, yeah, actually, is number seven the last on the list?
No.
Well, I just want to say that I think vision is really important.
Yes.
And as far as, you know, dreaming up your dream, looking towards the future, to me, I think vision is one of the most important things. You know, visualizing and seeing that commitment follow through. Because oftentimes, in my experience, is that it's really easy to visualize the mistake or what could go mm-hmm. wrong and things like that. But it's really, to me, it's a really, it's a challenge to my mind to visualize it in its perfection.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It is definitely a challenge in self and challenge in mind, challenge in growth to be able to do those things, because really it's easy sometimes to visualize the lack thereof of success. And so we don't even try. We don't even think about committing. We distract ourselves with, you know, media, unhealthy relationships, things that seem fulfilling, you know, drinking, whatever have you. Like, we fulfill ourselves in different ways because the vision's easier if it's in the failing form versus in the positive. But mm-hmm. if you can use all that mental power to generate the positive things that could happen, then it creates the energy to do it. It's like, mm-hmm. it becomes unquestionable.
That's powerful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Number eight, commitment inspires us to be and to do our best. What we were just talking about. We aim for the sky and shoot for the stars. We refuse to accept less than the best from ourselves and others. Our commitment inspires us to reach for quality and excellence. We continually enlarge and clarify our vision. This contributes to us living our personal best and our personal truth, I would say. Nine, commitment lives in communication. Mm-hmm. Fun one for me right now. Communication involves verbal and nonverbal interaction. While commitment lives in the declaration and words, evidence of commitment lives in the actions we take and don't take. Be attentive for evidence of commitment in communication. This, for me, what was coming up was the four agreements, which it's like, be impeccable with your word is one of the four agreements. And so I was really, when I was thinking about commitment and thinking about commitment in everyday life and how we use our language to commit or not to commit. I mean, our word is essentially our commitment to doing something. And how, if, and, you know, is that honored in our culture? Is it honored in our culture, in our community, about our word and how we are? You know, I think that it can be a mixed bag. So it's our communication, our actions that we take and don't take. And like I said, nonverbal communication as well. Nonverbal. What is your body saying? Sometimes I walk in my house and my roommates kind of give me this look like, why am I making that look? And I'm like, because you're making that look. And they're like, oh. You know, it's kind of this interesting reflection we have, because sometimes we're so unaware of the expressions we're making, you know, and what we're doing. So that's a part of the of our communication. And the last one is commitment is surrender. Commitment is the giving of ourselves to what we most believe and want. It is the merging of our ideals and our being. We surrender to our ideals and with commitment live them. We create what we want when we surrender to our commitments.
Wow.
Yeah.
Powerful. That's stuff. Beautiful.
So that was qualitycoaching.com. Jan Gordon, she is a personal coach, and she has put those words together for us on commitment and what it takes. And I really liked how she outlined all these different things. So this, like I said, this is something that's really alive for me. So
yeah, I love that. You know, I think that all of those are really important. And on the line of having a coach, you know, having a mentor type of person is a great way to commit to yourself. I mean, there's someone who's a little bit further down the road that can give insight that is, you know, really, really valuable. And for me, I committed to a 6-month coaching where my coach was a job coach, and that was started sometime in October and then ended 6 months after that. And that was a commitment for me. And to me, one of the things that I could do a lot better in, but one of the things that she urged us to do in our week, on our day to day, is to, within an entire week, to get in 7 hours of me time. Right.
Yeah. So is that me time like alone time?
It's whatever is filling up that cup, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. You know, if it's a yoga class, if it's a hike in the woods, if it's a swim in the morning, maybe it's a full spa day, you know, on a Saturday or something like that. And that is my hardest thing to work into my calendar. I am so apt to push aside my me time for something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm still working on that.
You have any other tips over there? 7 hours. I'm like, okay, that's homework when I get out of here.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I do. I schedule myself on Google Calendar, and I have an app called iCal on my phone, and I color coordinate my schedule so that I can schedule myself my life.
Nice.
Yeah, that's me.
So I do that in like a formal, like in the printed version, but I feel like it would be so much more efficient and useful if it was on my phone.
Oh yeah, I can show you. Do you have a smartphone?
Yes, I have to move in the 21st century.
Okay, I'll help you move into that.
Awesome.
You want to know what the other thing I was thinking about? Is so that we've talked about commitment to ourselves and to our partner and our community and to what we love, but honestly, a huge part of our day-to-day is our work.
Yes.
And I, you know, part of me is like, some of my work, actually most of the work that I'm doing right now, I'm very committed to because I like it.
Nice.
And so, you know, that's just a question I want to bring up. You know, I circled it. It's like work, your right. job. How, you know, we're really committed to our jobs.
Absolutely. I mean, in a sense, I mean, physically, absolutely. Like in the hour, amount of time that you spend there. I was actually talking with a friend about that topic, about work. And I remember when I graduated from Chico State and I was working for a nonprofit here in Chico, and I decided to go traveling because it was something that was really important for where I was. Like, my mental health wasn't very good, my physical health wasn't very good, and I really wasn't happy. Like, I was doing the commitment. I was committed. I was over committed, but I wasn't happy, and I felt like I was doing something wrong. I knew that it wasn't supposed to feel that way. I didn't know how it was supposed to feel, and I didn't even know that I could feel as good as I do now about what I'm doing. But at the time, you know, I just had to do something. And, you know, realizing that, like, what I wanted is, I wanted a passion, not a job. Mm-hmm. And so, like, how do I make what I love what I do. And so for me, when I say that my vision has made is demanded more and more of me to step up and make deeper commitments to myself, that's what I mean. It's like, if I'm really going to go for it, if I'm really going to do it, and as I tell my mom, you know, this is the time, Mom. I'm like, still young enough that it'll be okay.
Flirty 30.
Yeah, flirty 30.
Flirty 30.
Nice. That's 30, I'll tell my mom.
Flirty and thriving. You know that movie, right?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I'll have to check it out.
13 going on 30 okay. With Jennifer Garner.
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah. I do know that. I do know that movie. But yeah, so how do I show up a little bit deeper for myself? And that vision has such a big impact on that. And it attaches to my work, because I feel like work is everything we really do all day. We call our jobs our work, because that's like society has formed our mind. Like, this is the time that I'm going to work. But really, like, and you think about it, like, doing your laundry is work. Cleaning your house is work.
Heck yeah.
Hanging out.
Taking care of your kids.
Taking
that's
care of, yeah.
Full-time job.
Driving kids to school. That's work. Like, you know, just like sometimes being there and being present for friends. That's work, you know, because sometimes you have other things that you need to do, but you want to emotionally be there for your friends. Or, you know, because you also want them to use the golden rule and be there for you when you need something. So, like, all these things are work. So, how
work
do we...
versus passion. I like the... I actually... Is that the word that you passion. Plugged in instead?
Mm-hmm.
I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
My passion.
Yeah. So, like, being passionate about what we do. Like, in these 10 outlined truths about commitment that Jan Gordon wrote on the qualitycoaching.com, she talks about that, about passion being a part of commitment, like being passionate about it. So how can we become a little bit more passionate about your work? You know, like I've had that thought, like, can it, somebody that works at Home Depot be passionate about their job? You know, even though like I would have a hard time being passionate about a job, maybe they are. Maybe they're super stoked about their job and they're happy that they can provide for their family in that way. Who am I to decide that that's like, that that's not exactly what they want? So, you know, you can find passion, like Meg said, about, you know, enjoying what you're actually doing, like finding work that is actually fulfilling to you so that you can commit to it a little bit easier. Like, instead of waking up and being in this place of like, I want to just go back to sleep because I don't have an amazing day to look forward to, when there is so many amazing things to look forward to.
There are. You want to know a suggestion that I think would be great? I think we don't have too much more time left, but I want to say that. Are you looking for my notes?
I'm looking for the song.
You want the title of the song?
Yes.
Okay, so the word, what I want to, you know, give you, the listener, something to contemplate is the great benefits of a vision board.
Nice.
And yes, and that's something that I did with my friend Christy just a month or so ago. I did a vision board, and it's, you know, for me, it looks one way. For you, it might look another way. But on my vision board, there are things that are very important to me that make me really excited to look at them, to, you know, raise my passion for yoga and for music and for hula hooping and for animals, and all of these other things are on my vision board. So, you know, your vision board can be on any surface or anything like that. So that's, you know, maybe my little tip to leave y'all with is a vision board.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Meg, for that suggestion. A vision board is such a beautiful thing. And if you just remember vision board, I'm sure you can Google that and look it up. There's, you know, it's an awesome tool, and it's something that you can look at to remind you where you are. And for me, my personal homework is to really, you know, think about what my 10 truths are. You know, there might not be 10 at the end of it. I don't know. I'm just making it up as I go along. But deciding, you know, how am I going to show up in an authentic way for myself so that I have something to refer back to, like Meg said, you know, to the me in the future. Like, this is for me in the past because I know I want to make that commitment, but the me in the future is the one that I'm going to be holding them to. So what would be your 10? You know, while you're making your vision board, maybe those are some things that you can add to the creation of your board. And I want to thank Miss Megan Moore so much for joining me.
Yay, thank you.
Yeah, and I want to wish Julian and Emily some sweet, safe travels. And let you guys all know to tune in next week. We look forward to having a conversation with you each week, Tuesdays at 5 o'clock. If you ever have a show suggestion, send us a message on the Facebook page, Love in the 21st Century. We would love to talk on topics that you are inspired to listen to. Also, if you want to come in the studio, you've never been in the studio, give us a shout out. Let us know. We are here to help you, to help ourselves. So enjoy this beautiful, warm Chico evening.
Back in 2008, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein declared, "There are parts of government that can be run like a business and should be run like a business." Thus, the chairwoman of the Senate Committee overseeing congressional facilities privatized the restaurants and other food services in the U.S. Senate. Sure enough, those dining spots now turn a profit because they are being run like a business, specifically a business like McDonald's. Restaurant Associates, the New York outfit that got the House and Senate food contract, profits by paying poverty-level wages and generally mistreating the cooks, waitstaff, and other people who put the service in food service. Wages are less than $11 an hour, well below the very expensive cost of living in the Washington area. "Everybody has second jobs," says one weary worker. And when our $174,000 a year members of Congress adjourn for the 3 months or so of vacations they take each year, the food service workers are sent away with no pay at all. I should note that Restaurant Associates did give a pay raise to some workers not long ago. It was 3 cents an hour. That's not a raise, it's an insult. "I serve food to some of the most powerful people on earth," says a Senate cook. "They often talk of expanded opportunity for workers, but most don't seem to notice or care that workers in their own building are struggling to survive." Care? A key Senate committee chairman, Representative Tom Graves, recently showed how much Congress cares about the inequality by refusing even to consider requiring food service contractors to pay a living wage. "It's really not within the scope of this committee to micromanage all contracts," he sniffed. This is Jim Hightower saying, think of how that makes the Capitol dining staff feel. If I was old Tom, from now on, I wouldn't eat anywhere in the Capitol without taking a food taster with me.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
You may ask. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, and you're listening to Ecotopia, exploring ecological issues, environmental, social, and technological. And we're FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.